Okay, welcome everybody. I am here with some brothers and sisters, and I want to bring a teaching today. This teaching is called Autonomy is Rebellion Against God. Autonomy is Rebellion Against God. I think you'll find this topic interesting, but not commonly spoken on. I'm just going to say, as we get into this, autonomy, I'll explain what it is in a minute if you don't know, is self-will against God. It is sin. It's rebellion and sin against God. Let's start with some scripture, and we'll get to this meaning and why I'm doing this. Ecclesiastes 12:13. This became one of my favorite verses to street preach. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I love to preach that in the street because the beginning of wisdom is fear. Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this shows it's the duty of man in this autonomy world we live in. And I'll talk about why this culture and churchianity is full of autonomy ideas. This flies against the grain. It's the duty of man to obey God. And then Exodus 32:26 shows us, Exodus 32:26 shows us that we have a will. So I want to set the table on this. We have a will. We're not Calvinists. We don't believe that you're totally depraved. You can't choose. We absolutely have a will. In the garden, Adam and Eve were told, don't eat from that tree. That proves they have a will. They ate from it. God put them out. And here in Exodus 32:26, Moses said this. And then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. You see the decision they had to make there? They had a will. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. That the context there was they had just made the golden calf, and Israel was being wicked and stiff-necked. And Moses ends up sending men against the other brothers and neighbors and family members and hacked 3,000 people to death. I find it interesting, 3,000 fell that day. In Acts 2, 3,000 were added to the body. Kind of an interesting correlation. So let me talk about why I'm doing this study on autonomy. I've known about autonomy, but I've never done a study on it. Well, recently we had a man who claimed to be a brother, but he turned away from the faith. He went into darkness, either never born again or was born again and fell away. Don't really know which one, doesn't really matter at this point. And one of his comments when he left, when we spoke to him about the issues he was having over and over, was he wanted autonomy from God in areas of his life. So that's what I'm focusing on here. And we learned a lot from that. I've seen it so many times before, so I thought it'd be a good time to do a teaching on it. So autonomy, it's a big word. It's not often heard in churchianity, although it's practiced everywhere. And it has deep theological meaning that will damn most people's souls. Autonomy. Go to your dictionary and look it up. It's not a Bible word, but look up the word autonomy. It means independence or freedom as of the will of one's actions. The autonomy of the individual. The condition of being autonomous, self-governing, or the right of self-government. Now, I need to stop right here. You'll hear, every once in a while, you will hear people talk about autonomy. And the one place that they'll talk about autonomy, talking about like church circles around the churchianity, is there are places that do believe that like the local body should be autonomous. You'll hear that word. And that just means the local body shouldn't be ruled by another main body down in another town or another county. And that is true. Each local body should be run by the men there, the elders there, and they're autonomous from anyone else taking control of them. They answer to Christ and to the Word of God. So that's where you'll hear the word autonomy in Christian circles. But you'll see the actions of autonomy a lot, and I'm going to talk about that. And so we might as well just clear it and say, simply put, as I said before, autonomy is rebellion, which is witchcraft against God. 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So why is rebellion as a sin of witchcraft? Well, what's witchcraft? You know, you think of kettles and black cats, and that's all the common stuff. But witchcraft is like spiritual things outside of God's order. Black magic, white magic, all of that. Mysticism, anything that's spiritual outside of God's order. Well, rebellion is outside of God's order, because if God says do this and we do something else, we're practicing our own way, like the witches that practice their own way and the warlocks that practice their own way outside of God's way. So rebellion clearly is as the sin of witchcraft. And so autonomy, wanting to be autonomous from God, like that man said, definitely is sin and iniquity. Before he went into total darkness, he said he wanted autonomy. I'll give you a little bit of more of a description of what he said. He said he wanted freedom in certain areas of his life to not answer to God fully. And I believe in his case, I'm going to guess, it was his thought life. Things he wanted to think about, things that he wanted to dabble in. I won't go any further than that. But the sad part of all this is, again, either never born again or born again and fallen away. That can be either way. The sad part about all this is this. That man, and I've seen many people in my past that I've dealt with, he never got full light, full peace, full joy, full victory. Why? He was looking at everything cloudy. No clarity. Why? No clarity? No. Why no clarity? Because he was telling God, no, 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 you can't have this part of me. It's mine. And God, I believe, never gave him full light. He wanted autonomy from God. He did not want to fully surrender to God. He was not God's fully, keeping things secret, and it all ended up being rooted out. Holding out, withholding from God will never do. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. So this autonomy is a wicked, rebellious, sinful way. It's not a mindset from the Holy Spirit or the Word of God. The culture that we live in, this Satan's kingdom we live in, is ripe with it. Ready? I just thought for a minute, and I came up with a few slogans from the business world and the culture. Ready? Just do it. Famous shoe company. Just do it. You want to do it? Just do it. How about this one? It was a famous fast food chain. Have it your way. Sure. Yeah, have it your way. Autonomous, right? Come as you are, churchianity says. Oh, I know what they're going to say. Well, you come to Jesus as you are. He cleans you up. No, no. What they really mean is come as you are, live as you are, stay as you are. You're going to be fine. Jesus died for your sin and it doesn't matter. You could still have autonomy in your life. He doesn't have to take over every area of your life. How about this one? I won't mention the company that does this one, but you'll probably know it. I was a worldly man for much of my life, so I remember this before I was in Christ. Follow your heart. Famous entertainment company says that. Follow your heart. Autonomy. Just do what your heart tells you. How about this one? I think this is from one of the military services. Be all you can be. It's all about you. You're autonomous. Be what you can be. How about going back to churchianity? God loves you unconditionally. That's a lie. That gives you autonomy to live in sin, and everybody tells you God still loves you. That's an absolute lie. Now, one Bible verse teaches God loves you unconditionally anywhere. God is a covenantal God. He always has conditions. The condition today is to come to Christ by faith, repent of your sin because of what he's done, his death, burial, and resurrection, be born from above, follow him in holiness and obedience as fruit you know him, leaving and forsaking all sin and unrighteousness, and endure to the end. That's the condition by which you can be cleansed by Christ if you walk in the light, as 1 John says. That means being in the truth, by the way. And how about this one? We're all just sinners. The Bible never calls God's true people sinners until we live in sin. The Bible calls us saints because we walk after our glorious Savior. And so all of these feed the flesh, but they are outside of God's truth. And Scripture, as usual, is clearly against these man-made false ways. Colossians 2:8 tells us, watch out for the philosophies of man. But Matthew 22:37-38, our master said, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great command. So when you love God with everything you are, You don't have autonomous areas where he can't touch, that he can't influence, that he can't have, that are just yours. That's not loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving him that way is everything that you are. And then Jesus later said in the book of John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Pretty clear. No autonomy there from God. So I have a question. How do we love God if we go our own way in certain areas, or we keep our own mind thoughts, our thoughts, we want our thoughts separate from God, or we don't obey him in all things? How are we loving God? We're not. He's the creator. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. I'm studying through the book of Revelation every time I read those verses. I love that. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's above all, in all, and he's everything. There is no autonomy for God's people in any way. You cannot come to God and say, I'll give you everything but this and this. Nope, doesn't work that way. God will not be mocked. And Sister Amin and I were out street preaching. We were with Brother Zelos and Sister Carr as well. And we met a feminist woman. They were signing up people for getting an abortion clinic put in their county. And this woman, she's probably the reason I'm doing this audio. The brother left a few weeks earlier with his autonomous mindset. And this lady, about a week or two later, comes along and says, I want autonomy. I want to be able to butcher babies. She didn't say butcher. Abort babies. I want autonomy, she said, in the streets when we witnessed to her. I want to be able to kill babies if I want in my womb. And I want other women to kill babies. And she said the word autonomy. It clicked and I said, oh, I got to do a teaching on this. Because now you got this secular worldly woman saying she wants autonomy from God. I get it. That's how she lives her life. That's how the world lives her life. But she was bold. She was saying she wanted autonomy so much so she's willing to kill innocent children. This is a level of rebellion that people have against God, that they will commit murder to do their own way and have freedom. Think about that. Kind of like Cain with Abel, isn't it? Yeah, nothing new under the sun. So the culture and churchianity are steeped in various levels and mindsets of autonomy that is sin and rebellion against our holy God. Some will murder babies, like that wicked woman. Others will just deny what the scripture teaches about total surrender and will go their own way, keep their own secular thoughts, keep their area of their life that they want for themselves, like that man that was united to us. These are false religious ways that won't stand before God. So when we consider the gospel and what Christ has done for us at the stake, the cross, and the resurrection, as I said, the call is to repent, turn from all of that, and be born from above to follow and obey and endure in all of it. That's our charge. There's no room for autonomy or freedom to do your own will. If you want to be in eternity with the Father, there is no autonomy in your life. I'd like to use the example of a husband and wife. I told a man this one time in the streets, and he looked at me and didn't have an answer. I said, what if you said to your wife, hey, I trust you, but I'd like to see your phone. Could I see your phone to see what you do? And she grabs her phone and does a bunch of buttons, and then she goes, of course, you can look at any part of my phone except those two things right there. I blocked them. You can't see those. I want autonomy on those things. I'm pretty confident any normal husband would go, well, that's strange. I thought I could trust my wife. Why is there two areas of her phone that I can't look at? She wants autonomy from me in those two areas. That's troublesome to me. Yeah, that should be troublesome because husbands and wives shouldn't be keeping things from each other. Any husband, any wife should be able to pick up each other's phone at any time and look at anything. That's accountability. And so that's a good example. Husband and wife shouldn't have autonomy like that. We should not have autonomy from the creator of the universe. So we have to decide. We can choose, as I proved to you, going to be all in for God or not all in for God. Heaven or hell? Sin or evil? Light or dark? We got to make a decision. And sadly, most people, Jesus told us, most are going to perish. Very few, a puny few, are going to find eternal life. They choose another way. Very famous verse, Proverbs 16, 25. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yep. This man chose the wrong way. He went into darkness. If he doesn't repent, if God hasn't turned him over, he's going to suffer eternal fire. In one hand, it makes me very sorrowful because I loved him. I do love him still. The other hand, he's an enemy of God, and I say, God, you're just, your will be done, and I'm okay with that. And we have to be, because I'm going to choose the side of God, not men that want autonomy from him. How about this one? Judges 21, 24 and 25. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe, to his family, and they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. I love this part. And in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did which was right in his own eyes. Yeah, that's what happens when you don't have a righteous king. People start doing whatever they want. It's a problem in America, Canada, Western world, a lot of countries. We have authority and we do have government, but people still go out and do whatever they want. Why? Well, man's heart is wicked. We know that. And like the abortion woman or like the man I described to you, they have a will. They have a right to choose. God's going to give them a right. She can kill those babies. Sadly, she can. God allows it. We have to believe that because he does. And this man can choose to be autonomous in his mind or hide things from God. He can do that. But they are going to reap what they sow. And God's word is very clear about this. Romans 6, 20 through 23. For when ye were servants of sin. Autonomy makes you a servant of sin, by the way. Yeah. Ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things? Whereof ye are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, you become servants to God. See? We're servants of God. We're slaves to God. We're not autonomous. Ye have your own fruit unto holiness. Ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. Autonomy leads to death. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, what a glorious Savior we have. Christ made a way for us, but we have to choose him. We have to surrender our total will to him. We have to open up every area of our life to be made new, be cleansed, to walk in his ways. That's how we're sanctified. By the word, by the truth, by the Spirit. And Romans 6, 16 through 18. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Autonomy is not obedience to God. It's selfishness and rebellion and witchcraft. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered to you. You see faith and works in action there? Yeah. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. You're not a servant of righteousness when you tell God, everything but these things, God, those are mine. I want to do what I want. Because your flesh is going to lead you astray. You don't know better than God. My brother just said recently, when it comes to like raising children, he's been doing a lot of teaching on that. We don't know better than God. We're going to improvise. We're going to do better than God does. You can't be serious. We can't create nothing. God's the creator. We're going to do things his way. So autonomy that man craves is not of the Father, but it's of, here's one, tell people this when they want that. We told this brother that. He was a brother at the time. This is of Satan and the flesh. Look at how he tricked Eve, and then she offered sin to Adam in the garden. Genesis 3, 4, and 5. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Yeah, he's the father of lies, isn't he? For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Look at there. Eve took autonomy. The one thing God told her not to do, she did it. And Adam took autonomy and did the same thing when he took from his wife. He hearkened to his wife and led the world into sin. Why is this happening now on and on and on? Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah, the heart of man wants autonomy from God. But the heart of a saint wants everything under God's light and word and spirit. You want to see some people that want autonomy? You want to see the kind of people they are? This is what it leads to. Romans 1, 18 through 22. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There's a clue for you. Because that which because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, would be their conscience. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. They see it too by the creation. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I remember when I was a pagan, long before I was born again, I looked at the world and saw the order, and my conscience was convicting me that there was a God. Yeah, that's what this is talking about. I could not convince myself there was not a God. Evolution makes no sense. The world's full of order, beauty, humans, all different, billions of people, not one the same. Babies, miracles, animals, trees, the water, the systems of the rain, gravity. My conscience and the creation was guiding me home to the Father. Praise God, I listened. And praise God, he gave me the repentance to come to him. Verse 21. Because of that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Autonomy. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Autonomy. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see what autonomy will lead to? You don't have the truth of God. You're separated from God. You don't have the light of God. You don't have the ways of God, the word of God. It's foolishness. 2 points here. Foolishness to think, one, you could sin or shed innocent blood like that wicked abortion lady and escape God's wrath. Proverbs 6, 16 and 17. Six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. Proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Yeah, that's why abortion is so wicked. It's like any other sin, but it is the shedding of the most innocent blood. I can't imagine anything more innocent than a child in the womb. And number two, or anybody like that man I told you about, thinks that in their life as claimed believers, they can have autonomy in areas outside divine influence, order, commandments of God. That is just plain rebellion, almost on the level of Satan. Maybe not full out like Satan saying, oh, I want everything to be, I want to be God in everything. But for us to say, in some areas of our life, we want to be like God. We only want that for us. That makes us like Satan in a way. I like what Jesus told the rich man in Mark 10, one thing you lack. So if you have autonomy in one thing and there's sin there, which there will be, why else are you hiding it from God, I would ask. One thing that you lack. To hold an area of our life apart from God's influence is definitely a form of idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I get it. People are going to tell me, oh, in context back then, they were worshiping idols literally, and they were doing all that. I get it. But today, idolatry in the Western world, and all over the world really, mostly in the Western world that I see, is, yes, bowing down to idols, I get that, but it's also holding on to something greater than you hold on to God. Could be pets, could be your money, could be children, could be a wife, could be your career, could be status. All types of things can be an idol. It's anything that you lift up above God, and I see that all over the culture. And so we got to watch out. Autonomy creates idols in our lives. And then another reason we can't be autonomous, ready? We're not our own saints if we truly are born of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? We're not our own saints. For ye are bought with a price. What's the price, saints? The precious blood of Christ. That should change your mind about autonomy right there. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body's God's, your spirit's God's. Hey, you don't have nothing that's your own. Nope, no autonomy allowed. And we have to remember this. I think everybody knows this, but I think it's a good reminder. God sees everything. Our thoughts, our intents. We don't have autonomy in anything. Hebrews 4:12-13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Yeah, God sees everything. How foolish to think we can have autonomy in any areas of our life. It's not going to stand. Autonomy, self-government away from God, in the end, goes against what Jesus said as it tries to make parts of your life separate from him. Matthew 10, 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Autonomy. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Total surrender. Slaves to the one who bought us with his shed blood. And it's true, if you study the word of God like we at our body do, our body does together, God has always called his people to obey in all things, or they will be cut from him. Let's go back to Torah. Deuteronomy 30:20, my last verse here. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. I like that. For he is thy life. I like that. And the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Cleave to God. I love that. Like a husband and wife cleave together, even more so with God. So consider that, saints. Seekers, if you're listening, you need to repent and obey the gospel, be born again. If we hold back on anything in our life or in any area of our life, we lack. Jesus said, one thing you lack is a danger. Even one thing to not totally surrender unto God is idolatry, it's sin, it's rebellion, it's autonomy, it's as a sin of witchcraft. Don't do it. All autonomy, all self-will, all rebellion against God must go, and we must root out our entire lives and be a vessel cleansed for his good use. Everything spiritual, everything in our lives need to be under the authority of God, and so we can walk in his ways. We cannot govern ourselves outside of our glorious Savior who purchased us with his blood. I hope that's been a blessing to you about autonomy. Look for it, saints. When you're witnessing to people, look for autonomy in people's testimonies and in their lives. We'll witness to people, and they'll say, oh yeah, I go to church every Sunday, I love Jesus. And then you talk about something that you may see in their life or warn them about something, they'll go, oh, I ain't giving up football. I love football. No, not that. They want autonomy in their sports. Or women want autonomy in their makeup and their hairdo. Or men want autonomy in their clothing because they don't want to stand out from the culture and look like they're wearing a sack or a robe, or they'll be mocked or laughed at or whatever. Look at where you see autonomy. First in your life, test yourself. Let's judge ourselves the hardest. Then look in your body and the people you're united to. Is anybody carrying autonomy around that needs to be addressed and help them with it? Because it's a weakness. If you have autonomy in your life, last point. If you have autonomy in your life, I promise you, Satan is coming to attack you. This man that left us, actually, we parted ways with him because he went into sin. We put him out. I believe Satan was attacking his thought life and keeping him in darkness, and God was allowing it because this man said, I want autonomy from God. I want to have my own thought life and that God can't see. So look for autonomy in your life. Help people in your body root it out. Get rid of it. Totally root it out so we can be raw and bare and open and cleansed and pure before the Lord. And then when you're witnessing, look for it in people you're trying to help and tell them, hey, you look like you have autonomy here. You want separation from God in these areas. God will have none of it. You're probably not even born of him. You need to repent and cry out to God and be made new by his Spirit. Because when you're truly made new, I got to believe this. I suppose somebody born again could do this. But most all people born of God, they don't want autonomy anywhere from God. They want their lives to be shined on by the light of God, to kill every sin and every dark space. I think there's a lot of false converts walking around. They love autonomy because they love the darkness. Go read John 3:19-21. That'll make it straight for you. And the words of our Jesus there. Men love sin and they hide in the dark. Those who love the light, they come into it because they want to be made known by God. That's how you kill autonomy. Surrender it all for God. obey the gospel. I'm going to leave it right there. Hope that blessed you. Check out don'tperish.com. Check out the gospel. Check out our resources. This will be up in the Ecclesia gathering area to bless everyone that reads it until the Lord lets me come to you once again. Love y'all. And may God be praised.